Welcome back to Alive at 5. I'm your host, David Leonard, and it's my pleasure to be joined on the phone this afternoon by Dr. Deanna Brand. She is the author of a book entitled Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. And when I first heard about this, I thought, I need to spend some time visiting with this lady because this is an interesting issue that impacts so many people out there. And in a lot of these situations, I really think if you don't get a good handle on the dynamics, you're just asking for years and years of misery as you go through that relationship. Dr. Brand, welcome aboard to Alive at 5.
Thank you so much for having me.
Here at the beginning, if you would, share a little bit about your personal life with us, if you would, for a listener out there who may not know about you, may never have heard of you. Who is Dr. Deanna Brand?
Well, that's probably a very good question. I am a psychologist, and I have been, let me start with this part. I'm a psychologist. I have been in the field for over 30 years. In private practice for more than 25 years, but that's not what made me get to the point of writing this book. That's a little different. That's more my personal story. And I'll just share a little bit of that with you. My relationship with my daughter-in-law, which is kind of what triggered this book as I was struggling with my daughter-in-law, initially we got along great. And so it was, you know, everything was fine. We enjoyed each other's company. We could talk to each other very easily. And then they started having children. And that's when things really fell apart. And it seemed like I couldn't do anything right from that point on. And we kind of did this dance where we'd get along fine and then the tension would build between us and then we'd clash in some way. And then things would die down and we would go back to what we considered normal. And, you know, this dance just kept happening over and over again. And it really started to get more frequent. And so I started getting really scared because this is my only child. My son is my only child. And my big fear was that I would end up losing my relationship with him and losing my relationship with my granddaughters. Because what I realized was that my daughter-in-law, Michelle, really had a lot of power with these people, obviously. And I felt completely powerless. You have to understand, I'm a psychologist, so that was really hard for me to feel that powerlessness and feel like there was nothing I could do. I mean, here I am helping all these other people, and I couldn't even help myself. So it was quite humbling, to say the least. And this dance that Michelle and I did really went on for many years. It went on for like 8 years, which is a long time. You know, so it was 8 years of never knowing when things would get ugly or never knowing, you know, what was going to happen next, feeling like I was walking on eggshells. And then a situation happened with my sister. My sister was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so for the next year of her life, she and I spent a lot of time together. And just to really reconnect and build on the relationship that we already had. And when she died, I really started to rethink my relationship with Michelle because I realized at that point, you know, you never know how long you have with people, and particularly the people who matter to you. So that's when I decided I had to fix this relationship with Michelle. So obviously not knowing what to do because I couldn't fix it, I was too close to it, I went out and I interviewed mothers-in-law, I interviewed daughters-in-law, I even interviewed husbands and sons because I really wanted to get a clear understanding of what was going on. And as I listened to their stories, I started to see that I really could help them because I was now able to put some distance on it. And so I was able to see that there were things I could show them and things that I could teach them to help their relationship with their in-law get better. But I decided that I wanted to start with my own relationship. I thought that was probably the best place to start. So I just started to use some simple things with Michelle, with my daughter-in-law. I think the first one was I figured out which kind of a daughter-in-law, which type of daughter-in-law she was. And then I picked one of the tools that I could use with that particular type. And as I did that, I realized that, you know, things started to change between Michelle and I. She started to soften a little bit, and I started to soften a little bit, and I just started continuing to use those, and then I added more tools, and really things started to change in such a huge way, and it got better, and our relationship got stronger, and I can say now, I mean, been a little time, so I can say now that our relationship has gotten to the point where we're both really comfortable. In fact, she's even, you know, been very supportive in helping me, you know, supporting me on the book, and she helped me with writing the first chapter of the book, and, you know, just been really supportive of what I'm trying to do and how I'm wanting to help other women in this area.
You know, you mentioned that you spent some time not only talking to mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, but also to the husbands, the fathers and the sons. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of difference in the dynamics between a daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship, say, and a son-in-law, father-in-law relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Because women have a different focus on relationships than men do. Men are able to kind of get past all the little things. You know, they just focus on, you know, what are things we can do together, you know, what are things that we have in common, whereas women have a tendency on focusing on the minute detail. And in this particular relationship, I do believe that there's a competitive nature going on, because there's this one man that they both love, and so they're vying for his attention to some degree. And men don't do that. They don't focus on that. That's not where men come from. So men, actually, their relationships are much easier.
Yeah, you know, I can see what you're saying there, because I think about the relationship with my father-in-law, and it's like, you know, let's go to the baseball game and have a few beers and have some fun.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's, let's cook out. It's that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But with the ladies, though, it certainly is a little bit different. And, you know, you touched on something there. You've got one man in the middle, the husband, who's married to his wife, and then, you know, mm-hmm. he's in the middle there. And you've got these two women that are both loving him and perhaps trying to tug him in different directions. For the mother-in-law, is there, I guess I have to use the word jealousy, is there some jealousy involved there sometimes?
That's a good question. I probably wouldn't use the word jealousy. There's a little bit of just struggling and letting go of him. But mothers-in-law really need to understand that even though physically they've let go of him and he's on his own, they have to emotionally let him go and let him be the man that he needs to be and wants to be. And, you know, it's kind of, I hate to say it this way, but it's kind of like passing the baton, you know. You need to let your daughter-in-law, you know, be with him the way couples are together. And so I think mothers-in-law they know their son and they know him in a certain way, and they assume that's the only way he is, and yet he's much more dimensional than that.
No doubt about it. Now, Dr. Brand, you were talking about how you began to heal the relationship, I guess, between you and your daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. and it really began with figuring out who she is. Mm-hmm. Before I ask you about that, though, I want to clarify one thing. As I understand it, you think that, well, let me put it to you this way. I've often said, and I've often heard the old phrase, it takes two to tango, which in the context it's generally used, means that if you're in a relationship, both parties have to be pulling in the same direction, both people need to want the same things, and they both need to be willing to work on that in order to achieve those goals. And you say that that is not necessarily true. Am I reading you right?
You are reading me right. I know, but that's a pretty big controversy with people, but it is true, because the thing is it really only takes one person to create change. And what that's based on, and this comes from the research in group dynamics and family systems, if one person in a relationship changes their behavior, the other person is forced to change their behavior because they can't respond and react in the same way if someone's doing something different, because it wouldn't fit. So, and the reason for that is you don't focus on, in this situation, you don't focus on trying to get the other person to understand where you're coming from and start agreeing with you. And it's none of that. It's strictly about shifting the behavior and changing the behavior.
Now, you mentioned that the first step in the process of healing the relationship between yourself and your daughter-in-law was finding out who she is. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a fairly simple statement to make, but to me, that would seem to be a fairly complicated process. How does a person go about doing that?
Well, actually, if people go on my website, I do have a free, it's a questionnaire, and if they fill it out, they'll get immediate results as to which daughter-in-law they're dealing with or which mother-in-law they're dealing with. So I make it real simple for people. But what basically what it is it's a questionnaire that you, as you fill it out and you answer these questions, you will figure, you will know exactly the type of daughter-in-law you're dealing with. I can give you a real quick story about this, of how it kind of works. There's this one woman that I was working with. Her name is Leanne. And her mother-in-law was just driving her crazy because she would cause all these arguments. She would always start arguments with Leanne, and she would try everything she could to get her mother-in-law to stop, but she could never do it. So one of the things that we focused on was figuring out, okay, what type of mother-in-law you are. So she did the questionnaire, and she found out that her mother-in-law was an off-the-wall Wanda. Well, when you're dealing with an off-the-wall Wanda, there's certain things that you need to understand. And so what she was able to realize is Wanda's behavior, of course, that wasn't her mother-in-law's name, but that's the character's name, that woman's behavior had nothing really to do with Leanne at all, because this woman acted like that with everybody. So it really allowed Leanne to not take the mother-in-law's behavior personally. And that's really important. It's not personal oftentimes. It's really about how that other person is. So when Leanne realized that, and she realized that her mother-in-law was this off-the-wall Wanda, not only was she able to put some distance there and say, okay, it's not about me, but then she could figure out, okay, what do I need to do when someone is an off-the-wall Wanda? What can I do to start changing that behavior? And all she had to do was she started to set some really firm boundaries. That was one of the tools that we worked with. And she didn't reason with her. She didn't rationalize with her. She didn't have any discussions at all with her. She just set the boundaries, followed through. And within a couple of times of doing this, because she was consistent, Leanne started to see some changes actually in her mother-in-law's behavior. I mean, all of a sudden, her mother-in-law started living within these boundaries that Leanne had set, and it was the first time that had ever happened. So it's really, if you know who you're dealing with, then you're in a position to, one, not take it personally, her actions, but also you're in a better position to know what to do to get this woman to change her.
What can you tell us about the different types of daughter-in-laws?
Well, the daughter-in-law, there's different types of daughters-in-law as well. There's four different types of mothers-in-law, there's also four different types of daughters-in-law. And one of them is a doubting Donna. I mean, that is one, a woman who really second-guesses herself a lot. She really struggles with that, and so that affects her relationship with her mother-in-law. There's Weird Wendy, who really has her own sense of reality a lot of the times, and she's probably one of the most difficult daughters-in-law to deal with. Transition Tracy is another one. She's one who's kind of outgrown her issues that she had before, and she's really come into her own, and so she doesn't want another mother, you know? So you have to deal with her differently because she's very confident in who she is. And then the last one is Confident Connie, and she's the easiest one to deal with because she can take the mother-in-law for who she is and where she's coming from, and she's just very easygoing to be around. So there's four different ones, and you know, someone's going to fall into one of those very easily if you're a daughter-in-law.
And so in the particular case that you just mentioned to us and just told us about, Deanna, it seems as though that it is possible to change a relationship without being overly confrontive or challenging to the other person. Explain that. How does that work?
Well, and that's the thing I really like about it, because all you're trying to do is you're not trying to change how they view something, how they see a situation. That you'll never win, all right? All you're really trying to do is change their behavior. The emotions and the feelings may follow, but bottom line is all you really care about is how they interact with you when you're around them. And so what you're doing when you change your behavior towards them, it forces them to change their behavior with you because they can't act that same way. It won't fit. So this way, you can get them to start changing their behavior, and before you know it, you're in a very different relationship with them. And it feeds on itself because as it feels positive to you, it's going to feel positive to them, and then they want that more too. So it really is a win-win for both of you.
Yeah, it seems as though, let me see if I get this right, if I'm hearing what you're saying, it's like if the person is constantly trying to goad you into an argument, you just don't fall into that. You don't play along with that. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Exactly. You could say, you know, if someone's pushing you to have an argument, there are several different things you could do. One, before, when you know that they're going to do that, you can just say to them, you know, I know you're going to want to fight with me. If you say it before they have a chance to do it, because you can predict it oftentimes, if you can predict it, and so you say that, you know, I know you're going to try to fight with me here, and you laugh about it, you just make light of it, they can't do it anymore. You know, or you can say, you know, when you're ready to when you calm down, then let's talk. And then you walk away. They can't fight. There's no one to fight with if you're not there. So it really does make it easy. And you don't have to confront. You don't have to challenge. You don't have to make a big deal about it.
Is conflict inevitable in these relationships?
You know, some mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law get along fine from the beginning. And they stay that way. But one of the things I've realized is just because, and my own situation was this way, just because you get along initially doesn't mean you always will. Life happens, and sometimes things can happen that changes things. An example is this one woman that I worked with, she and her daughter-in-law got along great for, you know, 20 years, and then the daughter-in-law's mother died, and all of a sudden, her relationship with the daughter-in-law changed. So you never know what can change it or what can make it, you know, go awry. But there are people who do have a good relationship from the beginning. And there's reasons for that. I mean, they come into the relationship in a really good place. Everybody does. The son / husband, the mother-in-law, and the daughter-in-law. They all come into the relationship in very comfortable in their own skins, and when they do that, then the relationship will work very well.
How important is it between, say, you and your daughter-in-law, when things were not going so well with you, and even to this day, how important is it that you pick your battles very carefully?
Good question. It is important because, you know, one of the things I really stress with people is you don't want to focus on who's right and wrong, and that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in focusing on, well, she's wrong and I'm right and she needs to see my point of view. You know, none of that really matters, you know, because what matters is the relationship. And you got to look at the bigger picture. And that's why, as you say, picking your battles really matters, because you really want to look at the bigger picture. What is it that I'm trying to achieve here? And you're typically trying to achieve, I want to have a decent relationship with my in-law. You know, I want to have a decent relationship with my son or my grandkids or whoever it is, you know. So you pick those battles, because otherwise you're going to create this stalemate between the two of you. And that's the last thing you want, because you won't win.
Is there a lot of difference between a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, say the first time around, or say when it's the second time around, when the daughter-in-law comes into the relationship and this is the second marriage for those people?
Well, that's a very good question. I think so, because typically when it's the second time around, the daughter-in-law obviously is older at this point than she was the first time around, so she's had more life experience and she's more mature, and so that puts her at a different place than if this is her first marriage. She doesn't know what's going on, and she's just learning the ropes of being married and being a wife and all those things. So I think just the maturity and the fact that the daughter-in-law is older and she's had a little more life experience makes a huge difference.
Well, and I can also see where there'd be the possibility of baggage from the previous relationship being drug in. Perhaps you had a great relationship with your mother-in-law the first time around, and for whatever reason, the marriage didn't work out, and you have those expectations going in, or perhaps you had a lousy relationship with her the first time around, and now those are your expectations going in.
That does happen, too, where the old relationship kind of trickles into the new one. And that's a delicate balance, because one of the things that a daughter-in-law needs to really focus on is separating that out. And that's not easy to do, because it's easy to, again, that goes back to, you know, having this baggage that you bring into the relationship. You know, you have to really kind of sort through that stuff so that you don't, you know, plant somebody else's face onto your mother-in-law in that case, because otherwise it gets to be unfair. And but daughters-in-law can do it. I mean, you know, if you just kind of take a step back and look at the situation and look at how, what I say is look at how they're similar. Your mothers-in-law may be similar, but look at how they also are different.
Is any situation between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law too far gone to work on to get it to where it's a good, healthy, harmonious relationship?
Well, that's a complex question. Let me answer it this way. The way I would say is there are relationships that are extremely difficult and very complicated and can be very ugly. I think one of the things that you want to do in those situations is it's not necessarily going to be this, you know, warm and fuzzy relationship in the end, but it can definitely get better than what it was. And sometimes when I say getting better, it's more about that you as the individual are in a better place and can be more comfortable in this relationship. So a lot depends on what the expectation is of the relationship, what is possible in the relationship, and how to make it the best that it can be based on who you're dealing with. And so, as I say, they're not necessarily going to all be warm and fuzzy in that way, but they all, regardless of how bad they are, they can all get better and get to a place where the people in it can be more comfortable when they're around each other.
Now, it would seem to me that even though a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship is a unique relationship, some of the things that you've been talking about here today, some of the skills you've been mentioning, Dr. Brand, it seems to me that those could be used by people to work on just about any relationship, couldn't they?
That's one of the things I really love about this work, because if you know who, and it goes back to if you know who you're dealing with, if you know the type of person you're dealing with, in this case, it doesn't have to be a mother-in-law or daughter-in-law. It could be a sister. It could be a mother. It could be a coworker. If you know who you're dealing with, you are in a position to be able to change that relationship if it's not going well. Because it's not about the relationship itself, that the relationship isn't what's causing the problem. It's the people, the type of people and the people in the relationship that are the ones that are creating the struggle. So if you know who you're dealing with, you can then change that relationship. And you're right, it can be any relationship.
I'm really curious about something. Are you ever contacted by, excuse me, by husbands, or do you ever see situations where it's actually the husband that wants his wife and the mother-in-law to, his wife and his mom, to actually get some help in this area? Does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. I've had husbands buy my book for their wife or for their mother. I've had them do that. I have had them call me because they're caught in the middle. And for a guy, that is really tough. I mean, he loves his mom and he loves his wife, you know, and he just doesn't see why they can't get along, you know. And so it is really hard for him because he's kind of in a no-win situation.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like for the guy, you know, like back what I said earlier about my father-in-law, you know, that relationship, pretty simple. You know, let's go to the ball game and have some beers, you know.
But, exactly.
You know, and so guys, I think even though they may be aware that there's friction here and that there's problems going on, they honestly generally don't really know a whole lot about what to do with it.
Exactly. They don't. And in many ways, you know, they shouldn't be forced to be in the middle. This is really something that the wife and his mother need to figure out. This is their relationship. And putting him in the middle is really unfair. It happens all the time, but it's not really fair. And I understand, again, I can understand why it happens. The daughter-in-law wants to feel like her husband is supporting her. And in that, and what that means to her is then he agrees with everything she says about his mother. And that's not necessarily going to happen. The mother-in-law, his mother, just wants, you know, like, I raised you, you know me, you know, what's going on here? So, you know, he really is in a really bad spot. So, and again, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law need to figure this out themselves and not put him in the middle so much.
Very well put. Dr. Brand, it's been a fascinating conversation here today, I think, and I want to let you know that we really appreciate hearing from you. If we have a listener out there today that would like to be able to get a copy of Reluctantly Related Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law, or take a look at your website, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to my website, drdeannabrand.com, and again, the questionnaire is free for mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. There's a separate one for each. And you can also see a copy of my book and get my book there. You can also get it at reluctantlyrelated.com. It's also on Amazon and Back to the Books. Both of them are .coms, obviously. Amazon.com and then backtothebooks.com. So you can get either of those places as well.
Very good. I want to take a moment now to thank you for having spent some time with us here today. We appreciate hearing from you.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
That's Dr. Deanna Brand joining us today on Alive at 5. She is the author of Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. Keep it tuned right here to Yankton's home team, AM 1450 KYNT. Alive at 5. We'll be right back after this.